Today's message is entitled Resurrection Appearances Part 2. Underscore the Great Commission. The focus of today's message is going to be on the last five resurrection appearances before he ascended. Now, we covered a lot of material last week, and we did leave off with the first five appearances, and that happened all on the same day during resurrection morning. Today we'll continue with the next five appearances, which were also Jesus' last five appearances, and that covers about 40 days. Now, the last one we covered was with the ten of his disciples in the upper room. Judas had just hung himself, and Thomas wanted to be alone in mourning the death of Jesus. We pick it up this week with the next appearance, where all 11 remaining apostles are together, and Thomas is finally reunited with the Savior. Turn with me now to the book of John, chapter 20, verses 24 through 29. It's John 20, 24 through 29. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Now notice that Jesus already knew what had happened and what had been said to Thomas and Thomas's reaction. It's almost like he was there, which he was. He's always there. And that shows the omnipresence of God everywhere, at all time, in all time. And also the omniscience of God, all-knowing, all-wise. He knows what I'm telling you right now, and he knows exactly what you think about it. And not just now, but always. He is with us always. He knows our wishes, our desires. He knows our frustrations and our woes. And praise God for that. The seventh appearance was with seven apostles by the Sea of Galilee. And I realized while writing this that many may not know or understand the geography of Israel. So I've included a small map for today's service. I guess we have a few of them.
Yeah, there's one on each side.
Okay. So you might want to look at that when you get a chance. Now, the Sea of Galilee is located in the northern area of Israel. The Jordan River flows from it and goes all the way down to the southern region and drains into the Dead Sea. So you have one body of water going all the way down on one side, and then the other border is the Mediterranean. So this land is set right in between two water. Now, Jerusalem is located in the southern area, closer to the Dead Sea. And more to the point, they did a lot of traveling. It wasn't just a small journey from one town to the next. Now, this appearance takes up most of John chapter 21. We're not going to go through the entire chapter. We will pick it up on verse 14. So if you'll turn with me to John 21, verse 14. And this is after the apostles had just been fishing through the night and they hadn't caught anything. And Jesus from shore told them to cast out their nets to the right side of the boat. They did, and the boat was so full of fish they could barely stay afloat. And we will start from where they made it to shore, and Jesus had prepared a meal of bread and fish for them. So book of John 21, starting with verse 14. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, knowest that I love ye. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, you knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following. This is the book of John. John always refers to himself as the other disciple or the one whom Jesus loved. So he's speaking of John. Which also he leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went the saying abroad among the brethren, that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said, Not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? The focus in this conversation is between Jesus and Peter. Jesus looks for affirmation of love by asking Peter three times. But the word love is used six times in total, but there are two different types of love that can only be seen by the translation going back to the original word in Greek. And it's actually two words. One word is philia, which is in reference to a warm, affectionate, yet conditional love, which we are very familiar with. The other is a divine love, and the Greek word is agapio. That's a type of love that you can only experience between you and the Lord. It's a very special love. An unconditional one. Now, the first two times Jesus asked Peter if he agapio him, referring to the divine love, and Peter answered that he philio Jesus, which is the type of love that we are familiar with. The last time Jesus asks him if he philio him. And that is also what led to Peter's frustration, because he changed the type of love. Our Lord has this divine love for his believers, and it's unmeasurable. It's a type of love that we can only imagine, unless you feel it directly from the Lord. And in regards to the lambs and the sheep, again, two different Greek words are used for the word feed. He says, be grazing my baby lambs, but discipline my older sheep. Isn't that interesting? Perhaps Groucho Marx was onto something when he said that the world would be a better place if the parents had to eat the spinach. There's a lot of wisdom in what Jesus is saying. A child's mind is like a large sponge and just soaking up information. And it becomes more difficult as we get older. We become weighted down with negative memories from life and prejudices, situations leaving us a little less open to experiencing new things. Children, however, don't possess the understanding and the maturity necessary for the teachings of discipline. So we're talking about a different type of discipline. We're not talking about scolding. We're not talking about timeouts. Because children definitely need discipline so that they know right from wrong and they can learn and grow. And it's not to say that adults need a timeout. Very different meanings at play here. Athletes need to remain very disciplined. They need to eat properly, have a well-balanced strength training and cardio program. They need to practice their skills, continue learning their craft, and have a proper amount of sleep. As Christians, we need that same type of discipline for ourselves so that we are strong in resisting the temptations of sin. We have the proper wisdom when facing evil. We discipline ourselves and others through encouragement, prayer, worship, Bible study, fellowship, and guidance. And I must stress the importance of not taking this out of context. You're not to be an authority over your brothers and sisters. You are, however, to be their strength when they need it, and when they reach out for it, to be there for them. That's all part of being well established in the body of Christ. Again, discipline through encouragement, prayer, worship, Bible studies, fellowship, guidance, and I'll add one more that I must say you guys are great at doing, and that's to comfort each other in times of need. One might say that when we feed our children, we're feeding them the milk of God's word. but it's important to let them graze and let them feed, ask the questions. But once they reach the age of understanding, in which they would be fed the meat of Scripture, and what age is that? It depends on the person. Some people are very much adults before they reach that age and they can understand. And the conversation changes in verse 20 and going forward, where Peter desires to know the destiny reserved for John. And as you see and can remember from last week, John was the only apostle who wasn't martyred. And here we see that Jesus does say, you know, if he will live until I tarry, well, what is that to you? But that's in his walk with Christ, not in Peter's walk with Christ. So what Jesus is telling Peter is to concentrate on his own walk with the Lord and let John's walk be John's walk, because it has nothing to do with him. This also applies to us, and as well as far as keeping your focus on the Lord and having everything you do in life directed as God would have you do. And not to allow something or someone distract and move your focus off of him. And we all know how difficult that can be. The good news is that the Lord knows how difficult it is for us too. And he will be with us always. Unfortunately, the bad news is that the enemy knows it and will use it at every chance he can to separate us from God and each other. And our only chance is to draw ourselves closer to our Lord and have our Savior take care of the evil for us. Now, putting these two together, if we as the body of Christ, both collectively and individually, stay focused on our Lord and Savior, we can, through prayer, comfort, worship, Bible study, fellowship, and encouragement, help each other to remain disciplined automatically. If we stray away from that and start digging into people's personal businesses or focus on them instead of God, well, that never ends well, because we lose the focus off of God and it's directed towards something else or someone else. If we stay focused on God, then we can be there to help situations or people. And that is the wisdom that we're reading here. And before moving on, let me just mention that this is an excellent message for everyone and anyone, both within our church and outside of our church. And there are many that do need to hear this for correction purposes, but I feel for us that it's a great affirmation. We're doing very well, and we're doing as God would direct us. We are far from perfect, but we are definitely on the right path. And all the glory goes to God for that. All of God's word is wonderful to study so that we can remain on that path and grow just a little closer every day. Now, moving on to the eighth appearance, we go to Mount Tabor in Matthew 28, 16 through 20. And if you have one of the maps close by, you can see the mountain is colored in red so that you can see its location. All 11 apostles are there, as well as about 500 believers. So this is a big appearance. So Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went away to Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now in verse 18, Jesus declares his authority. And then in 19 and 20, he gives his great command in regard to the Great Commission and concludes with his promise to be with you always, even unto the end of the world. Before going to the ninth appearance, we should note that as unbelievable as it sounds, there were still some disciples with some remaining unbelief. And it seems a little crazy knowing what they had witnessed. But Jesus confronts that in the next appearance. Turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 16, verses 14 through 18. That's the book of Mark, chapter 16. Starting with verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and unbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So after gently rebuking them, Jesus gave more instruction regarding the Great Commission. Very simple and straightforward. Go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The world would include every place that is located upon planet Earth, not just places far away, because far away is somebody's backyard. Sand Lake, Steventown, Posenkill, Hannaford Supermarket, the post office, or even your own home. Some of us get to travel a bit, but even if we don't, just down the road is still Earth. The Great Commission is very much ongoing, and we must continue to keep that a priority for our church. Support to our missions and missionaries is a tremendous part of it. Giving support to others that are doing things we cannot. Before we go and wrap up the 10th and final resurrection appearance, I failed to mention the basket that's in front. That is so that we can start to raise money for Compass Care, because we don't know what's going to be happening in the near future with Compass Care or the programs that they're going to have for their fundraiser. But we still want to support them in any way we can. So now would be a good time to start. It'll be available for the next few weeks at least. So now please turn with me into the book of Acts for this very, very special event. Acts chapter 1. Starting with verse 4. Okay, Acts 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Jesus is referring to the Pentecost when the Holy Spirit would be poured onto them. Picking up with verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Jesus is addressing the question about his return, and it's not up to us to know when. There are some things that we simply are not meant to know. God is wise, all-knowing, all-loving, all-powerful. If he says that we're not to know certain things, we still must have complete faith and trust in him and all that he does. The book of Job kind of comes to mind on this a little bit. The general message towards the end is when God addresses him, he says, Job, can you understand that you can't understand? And can you still trust me? Continuing with verse 8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Here Jesus gives more detailed instruction on the Great Commission, local to the witness to the local, the regional, and then go on to the entire world. Now, all of us can do local, most regional, and a few globally. We all must do what we can while we're also knowing our own limitations. Healthy, polite conversations about our Lord and Savior when opportunity presents itself is certainly not a bad thing to do. A good understanding of Bible worldview can help, but it shouldn't stop anyone who has a limited knowledge either. Just take what you know and encourage others, and you would be helping with the Great Commission. So let's finish our reading with verses 9 through 11. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, so shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go up into heaven. The most wonderful ascension. Jesus ascends and is met by two angels who speak to the crowd who are witnessing this tremendous event in the Mount of Olives. They say that Jesus will return in like manner as he ascended. This means that his second coming, when he comes back, it will be visible, personal, in body. Not in spirit, in body. He will come back in full. And this will take place in the Mount of Olives. And on the map, the Mount of Olives or Mount Olivet is in yellow. And that is where Jesus will be returning from, or returning to. Because he will be coming back in like manner. Well, that is my message for this week. Next week, we have Gary Blauvelt joining us to give a message. My plans for at least a couple of months is to try and concentrate on some final exams I have coming up. So unless there's a cancellation, there will be guest speakers for quite a while. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this message and all messages that we've received. Lord, I give you great thanks for all the learning, all the guidance. Lord, I ask that the Holy Spirit continues to guide everyone here, not just myself, but everyone here. It is truly a blessing. Lord, continue to guide this church and give us the wisdom. It's in Jesus Christ's precious name I pray. Amen.